If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. It's a bit of a quieter month for Bravo, so today on the show will be one of our episodes that touches on pop culture beyond the Bravo sphere. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have Thea D'Souza of Your Moms Are Watching on Instagram, which is a fantastic account that she runs that focuses on Bravo, but also touches on things beyond in pop culture as well, because Thea has some incredible life experiences and endless Hollywood connections. Like throughout our conversation, the amount of time she was like, oh yeah, like my brother dated this person, or I used to work for this person, or what have you, was insane and so impressive. And so she has all these incredible stories, some of which she has shared online before, some of which she has not, but they have always caught my eye. And she, you know, at one point she was even working very closely with Julia Roberts and Jennifer Lopez. So I wanted to sort of start by hearing a bit about that time of her life and some of the stories that she's chosen to share online, because I find them fascinating. And so I kind of think that you guys will too. And then we jumped over to Bravo for the sort of the second half of the conversation. And I brought up some of her hot take posts over the past few months that she's put up on Instagram. And I just wanted to elaborate them, use them as jumping off points to have conversations about the current shows. And so, you know, we talked a lot about like unpopular opinions and advocating for Bravo stars that the rest of the fandom seems to be down on and things like that. And then at the end of the conversation, it was, you know, some higher level opinions about recent and current Bravo shows from this summer. It was a really great chat, and just a bit of housekeeping before we get to that. Friday's episode will be a mailbag episode, and because I haven't done one of those in about a month and a half. So head on over to @GabbingWithGib on Instagram to submit any questions that you want me to answer, opinions on Bravo shows, you know, feedback that you have, maybe pop culture things, career things, beyond. Nothing's off limits. Ask away. So that's on Friday. I really want to answer a bunch of questions. And then also before that on Thursday, I'll have another Miami interview for you guys that I'm recording today. And also, I just wanted to say thank you all for the overwhelming amount of birthday love. I had a great birthday this year, ready for another year, and just felt a lot of support and love from a lot of you guys, I think, for who are messaging me. So I just wanted to say that up top before we get to my chat with Thea D'Souza. Keep listening for that. Follow her at Your Moms Are Watching on Instagram. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll see you later this week. I want to gab. All right. Today we're gabbing with Thea D'Souza, aka Your Moms Are Watching, which is an amazing Bravo and pop culture focused account on Instagram. She also hosts her YouTube show called Talk Tea. Been a longtime fan, and I've been meaning to reach out to her to have her on, and I'm so excited to have her here today. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored. They used to say in radio, long time listener, first time caller.
There we go. Oh my God. Well, clearly the feeling's mutual. And I just love all the hot takes that you put out there. And one thing that I noticed earlier this year was when you were putting out a lot of these kind of little anecdotes and experiences that you had kind of while working in Hollywood. But I don't really know your full backstory or what you were really doing as connected to the movie industry. So I'd love for you to just give me a little sort of backstory on you and just like some of the background of what you were doing. Because you worked for Julia Roberts at one point, I know, but give me the lowdown.
I know, I love to throw the Julia Roberts thing in there. Actually, I went to college and graduate school in New York City, and I was on the second unit crew for Seinfeld. So we shot all the exteriors for that show.
So cool.
I feel like that's my most proudest job, but it was like I was in film school and it's just the fronts of buildings. But, you know, that's pretty big, Seinfeld.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And then I moved to Los Angeles and I got a job working as an assistant to the manager of Keanu Reeves and Mike Myers and Chris Rock at 3 Arts Entertainment. So he was the president of the company. There were three presidents. And so I worked there. It was my first job. So I was in talent. So I did a lot of stuff for Keanu. Like he was moving into a house and I had to buy him silverware, stuff like that. And then I met a boy who was he was reading a script. I remember he had a whole bag of scripts. This is back before you could do, this is the late 90s. And I was like, hey, what's that? I love that. I love reading. I was an English major, film, and went to film school. And he told me about this line of work in Hollywood called development, where you read scripts and you try to find projects for your boss and you help develop scripts. So you read them and do notes on them. So you have to find projects and then develop projects. So I was obsessed. So I went over and got a job as a development assistant at Copelson Entertainment. We produced like Platoon and Eraser and Seven. That was amazing. And then I got my first executive job was working for Harold Ramis on the Fox lot. So I found Harold projects to produce and direct. So I had a little bungalow on the Fox lot, an assistant. It was super
cool.
And then I was not like feeling right. I was like, my legs were falling asleep all the time. I was having a health problem, but I didn't know what was wrong. So I moved back to New York City in a panic and got the job working for Julia Roberts as her story editor. So it was Julia Roberts. It was Revolution Studios East. And we had Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon shared offices with us. And then I worked for Julia's producing partner. I was her assistant. And then I became the whole company's story editor. So again, reading scripts, finding projects for Julia. And I worked for her during 9/11. So kind of like ran out of my office. I was two blocks from her apartment right in Chelsea. So I could see the buildings and we had to get Julia out of the city. So that was kind of a bonding experience. Mm. Crazy. And then after that, I used to write a column for a magazine, a website. It was the website for American Pie and it was called D-Girl Diary. So it was a gossip column about Hollywood, but I didn't use names. And it was just about like who's sleeping with who, all in the development world and the Hollywood world.
Were you publishing that stuff under your name?
No. So it was anonymous.
Okay.
But then after about a year of it, it started really blowing up. I had like 500,000 subscribers.
Wow.
Finally, Premiere Magazine, which was a big magazine at the time, did a huge article outing me with my picture and stuff, which was fine. They called me and asked if they could. So it was time to come out anyways. There were no one ever guessed that it was me because I was really like, I was already back in New York. I wasn't in Hollywood. So a lot of the stories were retroactive and I never said names. I would say like the big actress instead of saying Julia or like whatever. So then they outed me and then I sold it to HarperCollins to become a book. And then Darren Star bought it to make it a TV show. And he actually took me to the finale party at Lincoln Center of Sex and the City and introduced me as like the next Candace Bushnell. I know. But then 9/11 happened. So then a lot of stuff just kind of like went by the wayside.
Oh,
and my book, the publisher for my book was the woman, Judith Regan, who published the OJ book, If I Did It.
My gosh.
So she got fired from HarperCollins. So my book never got published because she was my publisher. So OJ kind of screwed me on that one.
Fuck. So, I mean, around that time when you started that the blog, were you worried about your identity being, you know, outed and then also like that affecting like future job prospects because you were spilling all the tea?
No, it was really fun to do it anonymously because I could tell really salacious stories and not get worried. But eventually it was fine. Honestly, I used to write about people and not say their names, but like really sketchy stuff they were doing. And I would get messages all the time like, oh my God, I made it in D-Girl. And I was like, you noticed I called you the town drug dealer, right? Like no one cared. So it was exciting.
Rite of passage. Yeah.
It was exciting to be in a national magazine. That was a big magazine at the time. So that it was fun. It was fine. I mean, it wasn't like I was saying anything on there that no one knew already.
As somebody who you published all those amazing things, like, what do you think about Dumois and sort of that culture that we exist in now where like, I guess people find it interesting that like, it's like, oh, Harry Styles went to this coffee shop. Like it's so much less salacious and people still like want that information.
I mean, to this day, I was just, you know, I have like just a little tiny YouTube show where I interview people really like low stakes, like Charlie Rose type interviewing. There's no like graphics. I'm not trying to get it seen by anyone. And I was just asking my friend who's been my good friend for years, who was Keanu Reeves' assistant forever since we met till now. So like wow. 30 years been his assistant. And I was like, oh my gosh, Jeanette, you have to come on my show and talk about Keanu. And she was like, oh my God, I could never do that. Like it's definitely not cool to do that. And when I worked in Hollywood, it was not, I mean, honestly, it was the unwritten rule, but you could not share anything with anyone. You would literally get fired and then blacklisted from the industry. If you shared one detail, I mean, people would ask me like, what does Julia have in her refrigerator? Like not allowed to tell you. I would actually sign papers saying that I wouldn't discuss her decor in her apartment.
Really?
Because it was really tacky and they didn't want that to get out.
What did it look like?
It was like she was very into snow globes and angels. So there was like
really
snow globes everywhere and angels everywhere. And then it was kind of like mismatched faux antique, like Pottery Barn stuff. Mm. Like it was not what you would think America's Sweetheart just.
It kind of feels Taylor Swiftian a little bit.
Right, right. And she had just won an Oscar. And it was just, I remember that being
That's
part of
funny.
The day. I was like, wow. So you couldn't do that stuff. You really could get fired. So now that we, of course, have the internet, you can send stuff in anonymously so no one would ever know it was you. I'm sure people are still scared, though, of someone tracing anything back to them. I remember I was in this one, never forget, I was in a cab, back of a cab, and they had given me pictures, like a roll of film, to go to the photo mat and get developed for Julia. And they were like, we can't have an assistant do this. You have to do this. It's very important that you go to the photo store and you pull the pictures off the machine. Not even the person working there can see these pictures.
Get behind the counter.
It was her doing body shots with Danny Motor, and it was when he was still married.
Wow.
And she was still with Benjamin. So it was like a big deal. And I remember thinking in this cab, like, how much? A million? 2 million? Like how? If I just stopped.
If you just divert that cab to People Magazine and it would have been game over.
I was like, are you kidding? These pictures were gold and no one knew anything about them. This was like the biggest secret. Who's Julia dating? Like, and the fact that he was married with kids. I mean, the whole thing. And I remember thinking that so much money. But of course, the other side is you never work again. Right.
Right.
Like
right.
That's the end of you. That's supposedly. I mean, they kind of drill that into you. Who knows if it's really like maybe you could probably get a job again. But Hollywood's all about trust. So people always ask me, like, how did you get a job working for Keanu or whoever? And it's because someone else trusted me already. And that's how I got the job. You're not getting it because you sent your resume in. You're not getting it because you went to Harvard.
It's back-channeled. Yeah.
You're getting it because you proved yourself to someone else. And the only way to prove yourself out there is by keeping your mouth shut. So
yeah, totally. Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I have a friend who has been sort of a personal assistant for a couple different celebrities. And he lives in LA, but we were getting coffee in New York. And he was like, he was getting all these messages. And I was like, what chat is that? And he was like, oh, it's the personal assistants chat. And there's like this chat where like all of these personal assistants for huge celebrities, they kind of like, hey, does anybody have like a nail technician on the Upper West Side? Or like, what's the easiest way to get like XYZ like right now? Like, so they give each other tips, but they've all jumped between different people because they're all ultimately trusted because they've proven, right? So it's the same kind of thing.
That chat is gold. Just to be on that chat is golden.
Golden.
And also, they probably feel like it's a safe space. Like, they probably bet you a little bit about their bosses. I bet you $1 million.
Totally. I'm sure. Yeah, I wasn't able to get a full scroll in, but I was just even hearing about it, knowing it existed was great.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. It's not for those with 14 or fewer headache days a month. It prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Prescription Botox is injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Why wait? Ask your doctor, visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
On December 12th, Disney Plus invites you to go behind the scenes with Taylor Swift in an exclusive 6-episode docuseries.
I wanted to give something to the fans that they didn't expect.
The only thing left is to close the book.
The end of an era. And don't miss Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, the final show, featuring for the first time the Tortured Poets Department. Streaming December 12th, only on Disney Plus.
So I alluded to you earlier this year, you were posting a bunch of really great little, anecdotes and stories on Threads. And one of them that I was just kind of doing a scroll before kind of getting ready for this chat, one of them that made me laugh and I want to read to you. Just a tip for anyone looking to get into the business. It is not a good conversation starter to tell an A-list celebrity that their hairdresser also cuts you and your sister's hair. They don't want to hear that. They want to think that their hairdresser sits in a room waiting for months for them to fly out to LA and do their hair and their hair only. I learned this the hard way. I love that. That's amazing.
You know, I deleted so many of those threads because Julia's publicist came at me on Threads and was like, I think I would know better than you what Julia did on 9/11. And I'm like, okay. Okay, Marcy, I know you probably, maybe were with Julia. Although I'm not even actually sure because I ran to Julia's apartment, her townhouse, and banged on her door. And she was doing aerobicizing with like headphones on, had no idea the world was ending.
Wow.
So I'm like, I don't remember Marcy being there that morning. And we bought her an Escalade and filled it with stuff to get her out of the city. And I'm like, I mean, who doesn't remember every second of 9/11, mm-hmm. right? Like, don't tell me what I know and what I don't know. And I wasn't even spilling anything salacious. I was just talking about on Threads about how complicated it is. And this was right after the LA fires, how complicated it is when you work for a celebrity because it's not about you that day. And
right.
that's, you're like one of the only people. I mean, even companies are like, go home, be with your family. But when you work for someone like that, no, it's about how are we going to get Julia. And we worked with Tim Robbins, and he's a huge conspiracy theorist and really was like convinced that the bridges and tunnels were wired to blow any minute.
Wow.
We all got gas masks. He like personalized gas masks for us. Like he was out of his mind. So we were all just in a panic, and it was all about protecting Julia, getting her out. We weren't in the car. We weren't getting out.
It's crazy.
And even my boss, who now works for Jennifer Lopez, even she was like, okay, guys, we congregated at my other boss's house, and she is the Adam Horvitz's sister, so the Beastie Boys' sister, and she had this beautiful apartment on 7th Avenue, and that's where we all kind of ended up that morning. And I remember Elaine telling us like, okay, so come up here now, and she was on like 86th Street, and so we had to walk from 7th Street to 86th Street that day on 9/11 to get to her apartment. And I think back, I'm like, what, why are we going to her apartment? Like, tell us to go home. Julia was out of the city at this point. Now, like, all this stuff had happened that morning. My sister was a flight attendant. I thought she was on one of the flights because that was her flight 11. Wow. So I thought my sister was dead, and they're like, okay, you guys, like, come up here now. But that's how weird. It's such a weird, surreal thing. We did whatever you said, but it was strange. I was talking about that. That's all I was talking about. And this woman like kind of came at me, and I was like, come on, I'm not spilling like bad secrets. I'm just talking about my experience, which I'm allowed to do. And then she was trying to say like, oh, well, she would know more. I'm like, well, would you?
Does she still work for her?
What?
Does she still work for her?
Yes, she's still her publicist to this day. She's
better
publicist.
She's coming at you on Threads being like competitive about what, who knows what. Like, that's wild.
Right, is that so bizarre? And like, me of all people, like, and first of all, I've never had anything to do with her all these years. Like, I don't know this publicist. We're not friends. We don't follow each other. Nothing like that. she just like this little, you know, person that Julia's beckoning. She's fine. I don't have a problem with her, but it's like you're a complete stranger and you're on my thread, basically reprimanding me and trying to make me look stupid, like as if I don't know what I'm talking about. If you really think about it, like, why would you even say that? I would know better than you. Well, good for you. Of course you would. You're her publicist. Like, you could be, you know, go on.
Yeah,
your
what are you trying to prove? Right, exactly.
Right. It was so, and then she blocked me. I was like, okay.
Okay. Oh my
and
gosh.
Then I got nervous. I went back and deleted a ton of Julia stories because I was like, well, I don't want people. I mean, I did sign an NDA, but it was like, you know, 25 years ago. I don't know if that's
And also you're not saying anything that's like super salacious and crazy. It's just like these interesting little kind of insights into your experience. And for her to like sort of, yeah, that's wild. I'm an advocate for you to share those stories again. So I think that they're great. I think they're really interesting.
Scared of threads. I kind of went, I was really spilling a lot of stuff for a while there because it was fun. I don't know the people on threads. Like I know the Instagram people, like those are my people. And I never even tried threads, but they were running a bonus program where you got like $500. And I was like,
I was in that.
Right. So I was like, okay, I'll take the money. And then it became fun because I didn't realize people cared about what I was saying as much. And then also I would get all these random messages. Like I was telling a story about catering Leonardo DiCaprio's New Year's Eve party when he did Titanic.
Okay.
And I was telling the story on there. And I said in my story that the girl, his girlfriend at the time who was at the party, who was just stunningly beautiful. I said, her name is Kristen. And my roommate at the time was dating the Menendez brother, Eric Menendez. And she had gone to like every day of his trial with this girl, Kristen, who is a model. And for some reason, for 25 years, I have thought that's the same person. And so in my little story, I said, and Leo didn't even know. I ran into Leo like 3 months after his party and told him that his girlfriend, they had broken up, was attending the Menendez trial with my roommate. And he was like, what? So this is my story. So now I get a message from her, from Kristen, on my Instagram. She's like, hi, I just saw what you wrote. And I didn't go to the Menendez trial. But I love the story. It's amazing. I'm not mad at you or anything, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't.
Clarifying.
I
mean,
and she goes, and I would remember there's something like that. Just put it all together. And I talked to the girl who was Eric's girlfriend, and I realized it was a completely different Kristen.
Oh my gosh.
But she was so nice about it. She was like, no problem. I mean, I think it's the most interesting story. And she goes, and I totally remember you at that party and we had so much fun at that party and all that stuff. But
I'm not the girl. I'm not your girl. That is
so it was
fun.
Cool to like connect. I had almost every story I told, somebody would connect with me about some part of the story that they were like a part of. And I was like, wow, this is great. This is like a whole community of people saying, oh yeah, I remember the day that Bruce Springsteen came in, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you remember this? So I thought it was fun, but then I got tired of it. Like I did feel like I sounded like a big like name dropper, like who cares?
I think it's more just like drawing from your experience of your amazing career, but that's, I totally understand how you could feel that way. The hairdresser thing though, what was you said you learned the hard way from that? Was that
right? Because when my sister lived in LA and she was married to this DJ and her hairdresser named Catherine, I used to go when I would go out to my sister and get my hair done by her. And when I got to New York and was working for Julia, I learned that that was her LA girl, like Catherine, the same girl. I mean, she was at a really fancy, Louis Lacare was a very fancy Beverly Hills salon. So it's not out of, and she did have a picture on her thing of Julia. So I guess I kind of knew that, but I didn't realize just like how much Julia used her. And I remember telling Julia that and her being like, not at all. Like, oh my God. Like I always tell people I worked for Julia and Jennifer Lopez because we did a movie with Jennifer when I was there. And I always say how much nicer Jennifer is than Julia. No one believes me.
Really?
Like Jennifer would have been like, oh my God, Catherine, how is she? Like so nice. And Julia was like cold as ice. Like, oh,
wow.
That's interesting. Like maybe didn't believe me. I don't know, but it was like the coldest reception to a story. And I was just like, never mind.
She's like, oh, should I go to somebody more expensive? Like
fired her like right after that. Like what? Like this girl in my office. And probably my hair looked terrible. Like I was, you know, a story editor and you're like, I wasn't making a ton of money.
That's interesting, the Jennifer versus Julia comparison, because I don't think, especially like the current like kind of perception of both those people is so opposite of that, I feel like. But that's interesting to hear.
No, it's night and day. They're Julia is so cold and Jennifer is so warm. But the problem is Julia is very lovely to her fans. Mm. Like when she sees people out, she's like a very lovely person. The closer you are in her inner circle, the less she trusts you and the more guarded she is. So because she's been really burned by people in her inner circle before.
I believe
so
that.
Jennifer's the opposite. The closer you are in her inner circle, the lovelier she is to you. And then the more
she's
it gets
trusting.
To like stranger on the street, the more of a, you know, a little bit bitchy. So it's Got weird.
It. Yeah.
They're both nice, but they're nice in different ways.
That's interesting. Yeah. I was watching you on another podcast and you were talking about sort of like you had met Louis and Teresa from Housewives of Jersey and sort of understanding like their aura in a way or sort of like their magnetism a little bit. And I agree that like sometimes when you meet some of these, for me, it's like Bravo celebrities and I guess some celebrities too from earlier in my career is like you do understand some of the appeal maybe that you don't get by just reading about them or seeing photos of them. Did that happen a lot for you in your career where you had a perception of somebody, then you met them and you were like, oh, I get it now? Or was it sometimes the opposite? Maybe what we were just talking about where like you think they have this magnetism, but then you meet them in person, they're very normal and whatever. Like, talk to me about that experience for you.
I mean, 90% of the time, most of the time, I'm surprised. Like, most of the time, because these people have a persona. This is why they're famous. They can turn it on, turn it off. So when you get in, especially when you're in the service part of it, I mean, I became an executive, which was more like, you're going to kiss my ass when I'm executive because we are literally buying your property or like I'm bringing your stuff to a studio. So I'm like,
you have the power.
You're right, getting a job. But as an assistant, I mean, I used to be a bartender at a big bar in New York City that got all celebrities in there. I mean, I had like Al Pacino, Meryl Streep, like everybody came to this bar in Lincoln Center. And then you really got to see how people were in that, you know, if they were nice to you or not nice to you. But if you're, so it's different. I remember when I was telling the Jennifer versus J-Lo story, some people were commenting like, well, of course she was nice to you. You're the producers that are making her Made in Manhattan movie where she, you know, she wants to be a movie star. So of course, and I totally get that. I just was really impressed at how far she would go for us. The lower you were down, and not just me, the lower on the totem pole you're down, the more J-Lo would do for you. And even to this day, I'm very close with her inner circle. I talk to everybody that's, you know, in her sixth person inner circle all the time. And I know what she does for them. I know like how much she will do. And it's way more than you would ever think. Like really bending over backwards for these people.
Wow.
So, and there's no way Julia is doing any of that ever, 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 ever. So, you know, I mean, I guess you just see different sides of them. When you're an actor, you're reading lines. So of course you're going to have different sides. So I feel like almost everyone is so surprised me. And then there's like one person that you're like, oh my God, you are exactly who you
are. I think for me, it's been like, certain people actually have that aura and that sort of like star power about them. That's really, to me, undeniable. And then there's some people who you're like, oh, it's like a little bit more fabricated and manufactured and it's not natural.
You know, one of my biggest surprises was Tina Fey. I had a meeting with her. She came in to meet with me to make a movie. And I was shocked at how not like, she's a brilliant genius, a comedic genius, like all those things. But in a room, she is like super nerdy, quiet, not really dynamic. So some people,
I feel like they say that about they say that a lot about comedians because it's like that. I feel like they put so much into the persona and when they're performing that, like they're almost the opposite when they're not in that mode. I feel like you hear, I heard that about a lot of them, which is really interesting. So I want to, obviously your moms are watching is like mostly a Bravo focused page. And I'm curious, did you get into Bravo just because you liked watching it and then you just started posting about it? Or like, was there something that sort of spurred you to kind of go in that direction?
It was just, I did watch Bravo. I did watch all the Housewives shows at the time. I've been doing it 4 years now. My two friends and I used to have a group chat, like a text chat about the shows. And we, you know, Summer House, Housewives. And one of them, I wasn't even on Instagram. I mean, I put like pictures of my kids up. Like, that's it.
Right.
And she was like, we should make a page. I seriously Googled that day, like how to make a meme. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no, not in this community, nothing. And she was like, let's just try it. And we tried it. And after like 2 days, they both like dropped out. That's why it's called Your Moms Are Watching. They were like, this is not for us. And I was loving the meme part. I was loving like making the meme, coming up with a really funny line. And still to this day, it's my most favorite thing about the page is make, when you nail a meme, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
And it gets shared a lot and people love it. Yeah, it's so fun.
So I found after a while, even though I'm still to this day very bad at the graphics and technology, because I'm 56, so I didn't have this stuff in school.
The thing is, it doesn't have to look pristine or whatever. It's a sensibility, you know.
I know. I just like, I wish I could have mastered the technology, but I didn't. So it's fine. So I get put up these janky boomer looking memes and it's fine. If it's funny, it's funny. Right. But I still think that's my favorite part of it. All the gossip stuff is my least favorite part. And unfortunately, it is my followers' favorite thing.
Right.
I have polled them many times. I'm like, what should you rather do? Hear my old Hollywood stories, hear about my life, read funny memes, my funny takes on things, or it's tea. And they're all like 100% with tea. I'm like, no, not the tea. I hate the tea part.
Well, I wanted to get into some of your Instagram hot takes, which are some of these memes that you've made.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athletic-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps.
You got this.
And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
So this first one, I think it's an interesting topic right now, especially given the valley. But you say, the caption is, I enjoy people the rest of the Bravoverse does not. I think it adds spice to the shows and I don't like change. And the meme is someone with severe abandonment issues having to deal with losing Rinna on Beverly Hills, the entire Vanderpump Rules cast, Paige and Lexi leaving Summer House, Bryn leaving Roni, and Jersey on pause for what feels like decades. So I feel like what you're getting at, I feel like, is that you appreciate some of the more unpopular people maybe on these shows for what they bring to the shows. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, just in life, I am always the champion of the underdog. So the more people hate someone, the more I like them. It's terrible quality. I mean, I get killed on my page all the time for it. Like, how could you support this person? But I do think it makes the shows interesting. I think there's a line. There's a moral line, obviously. But my moral line is like way less stringent than anyone else's. I just want to be entertained. I want things to be messy. I like Charlie on Gen X. I think he's hilarious. I mean, not as a person. I wouldn't hang out with him.
As a TV figure. Yeah.
Right. I don't mind all that stuff. Every once in a while, it's too much. Every once in a while, I'm like, okay, like I have to draw the line with Jax right now because I feel like throwing that table that hit Brittany should have been a deal breaker. And one of my best friends was Kristen's publicist in the early days of Vanderpump. Oh. So I always heard a lot about Kristen. And one day they called me from my friend's house and Kristen was sleeping over because James had hit her. And I was like on the phone while hearing Kristen crying. My friend's like, I don't know what to do. And it was a big deal. And Kristen decided to go to a publication and talk about it. And LVP like shut that down. Like she already recorded the interview and everything. LVP's like, no way. So I kind of witnessed firsthand them covering up James's abuse. So I always kind of had an affinity for Kristen because of that, even when people hated her, because I kind of saw the other side of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Jax, I always chat with him. I think he's hilarious. And then all of a sudden, recently in the last few months, I'm like, nope, okay.
No.
I've had enough.
Let's axe that.
You're not on TV. You're nothing. Yeah. So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but I do think that I totally agree on the Jax and Kristen aspect of it, obviously. But I do think with somebody like Charlie on Next Gen NYC, or even like, I don't know, there's other examples of it. But like, he is somebody who like fans like are already being like, I don't like, he sucks. Like, we don't want him. But it's like, he's bringing. Right. And it's like, but he's the lightning rod that is attracting all of the drama that's making the show so unexpectedly good. And like, you want to lose that right away? Like, that's not how you grow a show. That's not how you cultivate, you know, a dedicated audience, by losing the one person who is like, you know, causing the causing a stir.
Right. I just hate boring TV because I don't have a lot of time to watch. I give myself like maybe 2 hours at night, like 10 o'clock at night to watch my shows. I don't have time to watch a show where nothing happens. So I do appreciate when people are spicy. I appreciate when people, you know, mention it all, tell it like it is, do a Rinna, do a Bethany, where like, at least you're talking about it. We're not hiding things. So, and of course I get mad at them just like everyone else.
Of course.
But yeah. And I don't like also a gang up. Like I really have like a big, all my red flags go up when everyone on the show hates someone and I immediately side with them. And it annoys the crap out of my followers for sure.
No, but I think I relate to that a lot of the time too. And is there anybody else who you have specifically sort of like, maybe not advocated for, but appreciated that it seems like nobody else really has?
Well, I'll tell you one that bit me in the butt, which was that I really went hard for Joe on Vanderpump because I really felt for her. And I was just didn't like, she mentioned that she had ADHD and my son has ADHD and autism. And I immediately thought about how socially awkward she was and thought about my son and how socially awkward he is. So I just like went to bat for her like 100%. Like, no, you guys, like stop ganging up on this girl. Like she's got, and the same actually with Rachel, Raquel. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, hooray for Raquel for getting with Tom. But I did also, my sister was her pageant coach. And I knew from way back that Rachel had had ADHD. Her mom had like texted my sister about it a ton. And so they had to deal with that in the pageant world with her and how like she would miss like some really important social cues during interviews and stuff. So I've known this before she was even on the show. So I immediately was like, when people would criticize her, for example, having a conversation with Ariana about Tom and sex, oh my God, what a horrible human being. But also knowing that she has some issues with social cues, maybe even like an adult learning disability or something where like she doesn't understand, she's not doing it to be malicious. She's not picking up on the fact that you are, you know, whatever you're putting down. So I didn't go like huge for bat for Rachel, but I definitely did for Joe. And it did kind of bite me in the butt. A little bit.
I believe it because they're, you know, that I kind of feel like Scandoval and sort of I think that changed the Bravo fandom for good, like across the board. I think that and how like they so and that was the moment, obviously. That was sort of in the heat of it. So I get that. But that I actually have one of your hot takes where you say same vibe, Lil from Summer House, Carl's date, and and Joe from Vanderpump Rules. And you say, I love the chaotic energy, more weird girls complimentary on Bravo, please. And again, I guess it gets back to this thing where it's like, we need more personality. We need more one of a kind people. We need more, you know, and that's why, honestly, I loved Amaya Papaya on Love Island because I felt like that was such a new personality type. I don't remember ever watching somebody like her. And I kind of agree with you. It's like I like the weird, chaotic nature.
Because I feel like, and I get so many, I'm sure you do too, but so many DMs, right? I feel like I'm talking to people in the Bravo fandom constantly, way too much. And they, when they start criticizing like how someone looks or how they're acting, and all that, then I get really offended because I'm so glad that Amaya resonated with so many people because she wasn't the most beautiful, put together person on the show, but she does have a wholesome goodness about her.
For sure.
That Joe could have used a little more of. But, you know, like,
yeah, Joe was almost too much in another reality. You know what I mean? She was in a different world a little bit, maybe.
Right. And I still love Joe and I talk to her and I think she's like, has so many great qualities and stuff. But, you know, there were also things, red flags that I kind of try to ignore because I was really riding hard for her. No one else was. And that's another thing. I'm not afraid to be unpopular on Instagram. I actually love it. Like, I remember when I first started my page, I really made a name for myself by riding hard for Erica Jane. Which, by the way, that also I did reverse position on, but it was the very beginning, all of it, where people were.
But I've looped back around on Erica. I'm on board with Erica again, and I don't really care if people disagree with that personally.
Yeah, I just the very beginning, it was all about did she know or didn't she know, and I was like, sure she didn't. I'm like, come on, do you know you think this guy's having an in-depth conversation with his little trophy wife about his financial dealings, right? And how much he's skimming off the top of clients' money. Like,
I agree with you.
There's no way. But then I remember the day that I turned was when those receipts got dropped about how much she spent on her credit card. And it was like $20 million on like Lamb. I mean, I was just, my jaw was like to the floor and I was like, okay, I can no longer stand. Like, Erica, why are you spending this much money on these things. It was crazy. And then I was like, okay, she might not have known, but at this point it's time to give back, time to show remorse and all that.
So yeah, she never really showed enough remorse, I would say. Yeah, that's for sure. Another one that I wanted to ask you about, same vibe, question mark. It was a picture of Sierra, Shelley, and Alandria over Paige, Sierra, and Amanda talking sort of about the Mean Girl accusation that both of those groups of girls have gotten on their respective shows. Do you think that they're mean girls? Do you like kind of subscribe to that narrative or no?
I think that very pretty girls, when put in a situation or on TV, do tend to ice out the less pretty, less polished girls. And I think the same thing happened to Joe, by the way, on Vanderpump. I think that they all thought she was just like weird and not cute and like didn't like her. And I always am going to, again, stick up for the underdogs in this situation. And I was going by what Lexi had said and what Emeril had said. The show. And they had said that these girls are not necessarily the warmest people when you enter the house. And I just don't like that kind of thing. Obviously, that hasn't aged well because the girls on Love Island turned everything around and they were nice. But I was just kind of just making a gentle point that I could see Paige and Amanda, being a little snotty in Sierra too. I mean, you see it on the show. They were not nice to Lexi the day she came in, and there was really no reason not to be nice to her. Not that she's a saint, but.
Yeah, you know, I totally see what you're saying. No, I'm just curious how strongly you felt about that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But all right, this next one is an interesting take, and I have a follow-up question to it. But you have a picture of Stephanie, and you say, what if we cast a rich person on Housewives who doesn't take her PJ to go pick up her dogs? What if we cast somebody who is passionate about saving the world, donating to charity, teaching young women not to prioritize material possessions and appearance over doing good? Can you imagine? In a ideal world, yes, absolutely. Like, that sounds fantastic. I'd love to see that. But like, is that person also going to be good TV, do you think?
I was not saying everyone on the show.
Okay.
All do-gooders. I do realize it's very hard to get those kind of people to do reality TV. I also realize, as we spoke earlier about, that villains are necessary.
Yes.
I get a little grossed out with the conspicuous consumption.
Sure.
With, you know, even with like Jennifer Tilly, all of, even the nicest ones, like, it seems like a waste of money, some of the things they do, and it bothers me just as not a wealthy person. I'm sure if I had that much money, I'd have a lot of fun in my private jet too, but I feel like I really can speak from a point of like not being wealthy by saying, like, sometimes I get grossed out and it's hard for me to watch, and I wish there was a little bit more balance once in a while of somebody on there. But, you know, there are people on the show. Bethany does a lot of good. I mean, she's not on the show anymore, which is probably why she's not. Because what's interesting about Bethany saving the world? And she doesn't need to be on the show. I'm sure they would have her back. But, you know, so I don't know. I guess that was actually one of my least popular posts I've ever had. So I was kind of like, should I delete this? And I was like, I like to let people talk, you know?
Yeah. No, I think I so appreciate you going against the grain and kind of standing 10 toes down on it. I wanted to get into a couple sort of, and round it out here, a couple of the current shows on Bravo and just kind of get some of your kind of big picture opinions on it. I know that you're a big fan of Next Gen NYC, which I am too, but I wasn't initially, before it premiered, I wasn't that excited for it, to be honest. I didn't think it had that much potential, and I just think it's over delivered so much. What do you think about sort of the balance of the Bravo offspring versus the non-Bravo offspring on that show and how it's playing out in this first season?
Well, it's funny because I was a little hesitant, obviously, just like you. First of all, I thought they're just a little bit too young for me to get. I have a hard time with Southern hospitality. I've never gotten into it. Don't think I can relate anymore at my age. So I was worried about that. I was worried a little bit about Gia, wondering how many of her mom's characteristics were going to carry over, and having the moms on the show, I was nervous. But I think that no one would be watching it without these Bravo girls. I mean, obviously, Ariana and Riley are making the show. So thank God.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And I think that 30 years of watching their parents on the show and sort of like getting media trained by proxy have really made them be breakout reality stars in my head. So I'm glad they have them on there. I would probably not have even checked the show out without them. So I guess I think it's necessary, but I'm also loving the other character. So I think it's great.
I feel like the tension between them is like really palpable, and I kind of love it. You know what I mean? Like, even Georgia is like, I think, such a compelling New York girl But she's giving them way more of a chance than Charlie is. And I think that that's a good look for her. But it's still kind of like an unnatural pairing. I don't know. It's compelling. It really is.
Right. I mean, he's looking down on reality stars and housewives, which is hilarious because, dude, you wouldn't be on TV if it wasn't for them.
Yep.
Again, like, this show probably wouldn't have been greenlit if you didn't have them. Mm-hmm. But that's just his personality. I mean, he looks down on everyone, right? Like, nobody is good enough.
Moving over to Miami, what do you make of how this Gertie situation is playing out with Julia and her position in the group where it feels like she's kind of being isolated from a lot of the cast?
I mean, it's one of those situations where they filmed the show without the social media kind of input. And I think they think that Gertie's going to come across as shrill or overreacting or too dramatic. And so they're all kind of jumping on that. And they're absolutely wrong. Gertie's coming across as someone who has a level head, who's definitely a victim in the scenario. So it's not playing the way they all think it. And I remember when the first episode aired, and I think it was Adriana who said it, but she said, made a big post about how it's not okay to treat Gertie this way. And she has cancer and we should all be more reverential to her. And I was like, yeah, of course you're saying that now, because now you know immediately the
clean up.
Right. And you saw the editing and now you've seen the social media and you're realizing this is not a good look. But back then, where were you? Where were you? The next scene should have been you telling the lady that was not cool, you guys. Like, what the heck? We have to, that was not okay. So yeah. I do think it's funny that now she's saying something. But that show, why no one's watching it, I have no idea. But you know how I said I was talking to a lot of my followers? But the impression I'm getting is people are having a hard time with that show because it's hard to find people to root for. Like, a lot of them, I don't know, they're not real heroes on that show.
Yeah, I actually did a whole episode. I like put out this question on social media, like, if you watch Real Housewives and you watch Bravo, like, what? Very curious. It's like, genuinely, why do you not watch Miami? And like, the reasonings really ran the gamut. But that was definitely one of them where it was like, a lot of people don't like Larsa. A lot of people just don't. They find it to be, it's not like a relatable touchdown point for them, especially with Dr. Nicole not there. And so I think that's a big reason. I think there's also like kind of more of like a boring reason, which is that it came back to Peacock when people weren't really looking for it there. That's,
right.
That's like sort of a more practical reason. But I think that like the sort of personality of it is definitely a big one, which is interesting because for me, I guess I just don't need that as much, I guess, in my Housewives. Like I like the sort of like over the top theatricality of Miami, but I do miss Dr. Nicole's sort of grounded presence.
Right. She was someone to root for. No, my brother dated Joanna Krupa for 2 years. So I've known Joanna.
Before or after Housewives?
Before. He literally got her. I joke that he got her like off the airplane from Poland. Like I joke that he would stand at the airport and look for like beautiful women that came because he got her right away. And they went out for 2 years. So they literally broke up because Joanna hooked up with Muhammad. Like that's. She cheated on him with Muhammad, and that's why they broke up. So talk about being in the mix anyways, regardless. So of course I'm going to watch Miami when she becomes a housewife, but I would have watched it anyway. Like, who doesn't want to see, if you love Housewives, why would you skip a franchise? I could see like going into a franchise and not liking it. Like Dallas lost me after a few seasons, and now at this point, I'm having a hard time with Atlanta. But if you love Housewives, you're going to check the franchise out for a little bit.
Right.
And I don't see what you wouldn't like about it. There's drama, there's beauty, there's opulence. I don't get it either, but yeah. It's bad. Innings are bad.
What's your, why can't you connect with Atlanta right now? Why do you think that is?
Why what?
You said Atlanta, like you're not kind of being able to touch down on that.
I'm still watching. I'm still having a hard time with it. It's feeling super deliberate, overproduced.
Got it.
I'm feeling like these shows, they all happen to most of them, but at some point they become too self-referential. Like they become too, and I'm like doubting every person on the show at this point. Like I'm like, wait, what are your motives? Why are you saying this? And it's making it a hard watch.
Interesting. Last question for you that I'm just curious now that I'm thinking about it. You know, Beverly Hills as a franchise, it's such an interesting one because, I mean, it's very divisive for us all, but it's also very one of the most popular ones. And I'm so curious about your perspective on sort of like the trajectory of some of the women who come from more of the Hollywood background, who have had these long careers in the public, and then they sort of, maybe they're having a dip in their career and they jump onto Housewives. Rinna, Garcelle, Eileen, Denise Richards, like some of these women who had already made names for themselves, And they sort of have, they kind of create even more relevancy for themselves on the back of Housewives than they have ever had before, arguably. I'm curious what you think as somebody who has been in the industry for a while and has seen, you know Bravo so well, you know Hollywood very well. What do you think of that trajectory and how some of these women have sort of utilized the Bravo platform to sort of reinvigorate their careers?
Well, it's funny because in the old days, a while back, it would have been a bad, bad look to go from acting to the Housewives. From acting to reality TV, you're done. You're done in Hollywood. I mean, this was like, absolutely. Like, once you do that, you're not coming back. But it's changed because now casting people in things really relies a lot on social media presence and relies a lot on your ability to promote what you're doing. So let's say Rinna doing American Horror Story. Well, it's 100% because she has 3 million followers and because she can post about being on the show and you'll have more viewers. I mean, look at Ariana, that all this stuff is, so it's not the same anymore where there's a stigma. I mean, there probably still is in back channels. Like, I don't think you're getting cast in an Academy Award winning movie when you've been on Housewives.
But you also weren't being cast in that before you joined Housewives either.
But it's everything's changed so much where now it all depends on your social media presence to get cast. So it's a very smart business decision. The problem is, in order to last and thrive in these shows, you kind of have to get your hands a little dirty. And that is not something you want to do if you're trying to have, like Garcelle, an esteemed career. So obviously Garcelle's days were numbered on that show. She was never planning on being on it for life, but she took what she could out of it. And that's what you have to do. You have to use the show, take what you can and get out before your hands get dirty, because then things will turn on you. Then you're on you're on headlines for something, doing something bad, and then it is hard to get cast. So you have to walk that tightrope. But I think things have changed so much in Hollywood to this point now where it can only help your career.
Yeah, I think Garcelle has utilized it in one of the best ways in recent memory, I would say. I think somebody who it's, I don't know if it backfired on her, but I think it, Denise Richards, I'd like to study sort of how that affected her career, because she does a lot of like straight to video movies, I think, these days, but like, which is, there's no shame about that. But it's just, I feel like her career wasn't necessarily invigorated.
Well, she, first of all, wasn't on long enough to create that Housewife fandom that you really need to, you know, do a Rinna, like 12 seasons to build. But also, Denise had injured her own career before she did Housewives. She had started doing really crappy, really cheesy movies. And once you go down that road, no one's putting you in something great, except if they're being campy. So she can be in something campy. So I think she did damage her career a long time ago. And I wouldn't even say damage. It's damage if you want to be an Academy Award winning actress, I guess. Maybe that's not her goal. Maybe her goal is just to be famous and be able to work a lot. And she didn't care what stuff she got. Yeah. So I don't think there was a career that was so great that she ruined. You know, at this point.
Yeah, I think you're right. And she's just top of mind because of the divorce. You know what I mean? And like, it seems like it's going to be messy from a money perspective. And I'm just so, I think we're going to learn more about that, the reality of like her situation. And it doesn't seem super.
Well, I would not discount us seeing her back on Beverly Hills at some point if Bravo would have her. Like, I just think she would take whatever work she can get at this point. I don't know. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Now that Rinna's not there, I feel like the chances for her will be better. But I don't love like recycling as much as other people do. Yeah. I think everybody on this platform canonizes someone after they get fired. They hate them while they're on the show. And then they, after they leave, like, oh, you know who I miss? Mm-hmm. And they come back and it's like, this is why we didn't like them. You don't remember.
It's a cycle. Yeah. And then we're immediately reminded.
Exactly. So I don't know that she would be successful if she came back on. Oh my God. Her career trail is interesting. I guess OnlyFans is where you make your money. I don't know.
And even there, the reports are that it's not nearly as much as she was claiming.
No way.
So yeah, there's no way. Well, Thea, this was so much fun. I feel like I learned so much from you, and you just have, I mean, even just throughout our conversation, the amount of connections you had to different people, it's really incredible. It really is.
It's like, I have to keep my mouth shut because then, oh, of course your brother dated Joanna Kruba. Oh, of course you were with Julia Roberts on 9/11. It's so bad.
I'm not annoyed. I am invigorated by it. And I would have loved to talk to you for 6 hours. So,
well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored that you asked me to come on here. I really have loved your podcast and your page forever.
Oh, thank you so much. And obviously you have your Instagram account Your Moms Are Watching, which is fantastic. Everyone go follow that. You also have your YouTube show. It's called Talk Tea.
Talk Tea with Thee on YouTube. It's short-lived. I don't know how much longer I can do it, but I did interview a few interesting people. I just want to keep it like no frills.
You did.
So it was a fun thing. I don't know that I'll be doing that forever, but Your Moms Are Watching is where to find me.
Okay, amazing. Well, thank you so much. And hopefully we get to do this again soon. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much. Bye. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.